I've been gone a couple Sundays. I don't know the last time that I've missed two Sundays in a row, so that is different for me. Rena and I have been on vacation with our family, and we on a cruise, and somebody asked me today, they said, I heard you were trying to get a job on a cruise ship. They did not like my skill set. It kind of cramps their style when a pastor's hanging around and everybody's trying to drink and that kind of stuff. So it's like, hey, why don't you get off this boat, all right? So, no, we're glad to be here, glad to be back home. It's been a great, great experience. Thank you guys for the birthday. I just remember my birthday on the 4th of July. That was just a great night. Anytime that you can have fireworks on your birthday, that's just amazing. My birthday's on the 9th, but I appreciate you guys. Your comments and well wishes and gifts, thank you so much. So this morning, we're getting ready. We're going to go into a two-week series that we're just going to camp out in and prepare us for where we're headed for the fall. If you're around church work, and we've talked about this in our staff, there are seasons that happen in churches. And we've kind of been, over the last couple of months, the summer season, it's a little bit loose, right? Everybody's traveling, you know, taking vacations, right? They're gone and going to different places, and that's okay. We want that to happen. But we're getting ready to come back into the fall season. August really kind of kicks that off, although it's still hot as it can be, right? It becomes fall season for us, and that's a growth time. And during growth times, we see people connect with our church in a new way. We've had new families that have connected this summer. The way we talk about it amongst our staff is a lot of times can't see the growth during the summer because everybody's traveling. And then in August, when everybody comes back, come back someday, right? August 3rd, when everybody comes back, that is a chance for us to really kind of see, oh, wow. Over the last 2 years, what we've seen is we've picked up about 100 people each year. And so we've grown by 100 people over the last couple of years. And so that's putting us up in that 500 mark with people who call this their own church, which is great. That is a great place to be. And we are a church that has a great vision for the future. You've heard us talk about this. We've talked about what we want to do just in terms of building a facility, the thing, the ministry that we want to get started. Life groups are getting ready to relaunch for the fall as well. We've been kind of in that summer season at this end, but it's getting ready to relaunch for the fall. And so all these things mean that we're trying to remind ourselves of who we are. So we are a church that is full of vision, and that includes the possibility of building a future building and this is just going to serve our community better. But we're also, we believe that that vision must be anchored in faithfulness. And that vision has to be tethered to mission. Because I've seen churches that have had great big vision and it's become untethered from mission. Right? And so anytime that your vision becomes untethered from your mission, that is not a good thing. Actually, that's very dangerous. And so we want to talk a little bit about that over the next couple of weeks. What's our mission? And many of you should know this mission, but if I asked you, I said, what is the mission of New Life Church? And you don't have to go too far. You just kind of walk through the hallways because we believe that, putting up, we exist to lead people into a growing relationship with who? Jesus Christ. And we believe that we're here to engage them in the life and mission of the church. And so what is it? That is why we're here. That's why we have to continue to remind ourselves of why we exist. We don't exist to just show up and sing songs and pat each other on the back. Or we don't exist just to build buildings. We don't exist to kind of become some kind of religious country club. That's not why we're here. We are here for the mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I always want to be reminded of that myself, and we have to remind you of that as well. That's why we are here. That's why we exist in this community. And the danger that we face, that's our mission, the danger that we face is distraction, getting distracted from that mission. Now, how many of you guys remember back in the early 2000s, there was a company called MySpace? Anybody remember MySpace? You had a MySpace page, right? I remember MySpace. You had that like, I don't have any friends. Well, at least from MySpace, you have one friend. His name is Tom, right? And the idea was to kind of gain more friends on this. And it, that the whole premise of MySpace in the beginning was to connect people. That's what they were meant to do. I mean, that's kind of what you see right here, a place for friends. That's what they were meant to do. So MySpace was, they existed to connect people, to have a place to connect people, and so they can express themselves. The problem was this, is what happened was they got caught up and they began to focus. Instead of connecting people, they started chasing ads. And they started chasing, you know, all this stuff that you could add to your profiles and all these different things that you can do and changing backgrounds. And it became very cluttered. And it became just this crazy circus of a website. So they were trying to do everything that they could to be everything for everyone. And they really lost out on what their mission was. They really lost out on their mission. And at one time, they had over 100 million active users in a month. That's a lot of people, guys. I don't know. You guys seen 100 million people here? Maybe going up and down the road. Y'all might think there's 100 million people in traffic, but there's not, right? That's a lot of people. Active users in a month. They are now down to less than 7 million active users. They're still, you can still go to MySpace. It's still there, but it is a shell. It is a fraction of what it used to be. And the whole reason that it's a fraction of what it used to be, they lost their mission. They lost what they were really supposed to be doing. And their vision got big with all this other stuff and it became untethered from their mission. And so New Life Church, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the vision that we have as a church can never become untethered from the mission. And the mission that we have is this, is that we exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and engage them in the life and the mission of the church. So we cannot forget our purpose or else we drift. That's what happens. We cannot forget who we are or else we become something that we never intended to be, right? And so this morning, I really want to answer that question, you know, what matters, right? So if our mission is what really matters, what matters? And it's, that's not something that we just came up with. It wasn't like we were sitting in a staff meeting one day and we said, hey, this would be really cool if we did this. Actually, this has been defined for us for a very long time. It's been defined for every church. Any church that is serious about following Jesus, there's a definition for this. That's what I want us to look at this morning. So we're going to go to John chapter 20, and we're wanting to look and see what really matters. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. Let's start reading there. John 20, beginning in verse 19. If I can find it myself, there it is. And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. Now, this is after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, okay? On the evening of the day of the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, if the doors are locked to keep everybody out, and then nobody really sees it happen, but he kind of shows up, right? And says, "Peace be with you." He's probably going to have to do that, right? He's probably going to have to calm me down because I don't necessarily think that we'd be really good with people just appearing out of thin air. But it's kind of what happens. And he shows up in this locker room and he says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Once again, he's got to calm them down, right? As the Father... catch this. As the Father has what? Sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. They are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." What he's talking about there is things that God has already decreed to happen. He's like, you stand on the things that God has already decreed. You stand on the forgiveness that God has already decreed to be an invitation to those to come to know him, right? And so what Jesus does here, he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We have to understand this. First thing is this, that we are a sent people. We are a sent people. We're not talking about just how apostello, and that's where we get our word apostle, which means sent one. Apostolos means sent one. So Jesus was sent, and so are we. Jesus is sent, and we are sent. And what Jesus does is he links his mission with our mission, right? Or he links our mission with his mission. However you want to look at that, we get linked together because Jesus becomes sent. Jesus is sent by the Father, and then Jesus sends his disciples. And so this whole idea of being sent is linked with Jesus' mission. So what is this? The one who sent is not necessarily just a messenger. One who is sent is a legal representative with delegated power. You need to understand that, all right? Sometimes we talk about, hey, how, you know, I'm going to delegate tasks. I talked about this this past week in our office. We delegate tasks sometimes, but we also have to delegate authority, right? So when you step in and you say, hey, I need you to do something for me, right? You come with the authority of the one who sent you. How many of you knows what that means, right? If mama says, go out there and get those boys out of the yard, tell them to come in inside and eat, right? You're not just going out there. Anybody remember doing that? Right? Mama said to come inside and get something to eat. Oh, that's just you. You've got to take that up with mama, right? And so you're standing there in mom's authority in that point. So that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. He said, listen, I'm sent with the Father's authority. I am sending you with my authority. And so we have this mission that connects with Jesus' mission. And what are the characteristics of Jesus' mission? There are five that I want to give you real quick, and we're just going to kind of roll through this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is five characteristics of Jesus' mission. And this is kind of gives us a little bit of a look at what that has to look like for us. Jesus' mission was in incarnation, right? It basically means that the incarnate God in Jesus came and lived among us, that he entered fully into the human experience. He's fully God and he's fully human, right? That Jesus comes and he lives in this experience, in this incarnation, right? It's redemptive. And what Jesus did was this. He came to reconcile the world back to God. There's this gap. There's this canyon, right, that Jesus came to bridge, to reconcile us back to God, to bring us back. It is the ultimate comeback Sunday when Jesus got up, right? That resurrection Sunday, he came back. He came back to reconcile us back to the Father. It's incarnational. It's redemptive. It's sacrificial. What does that mean? It means his mission required complete self-giving. He had to give completely of himself. So it's redemptive. It's sacrificial. It's authoritative. We just said that. That he did not just come on his own authority, he came by the authority of the Father, right? And when he sends us out with his authority. He spoke and acted with divine authority. And this last part is this, it's revelatory. What does that mean? It means that he made the Father known through his words and through his deeds, right? And so this gives us a glimpse. Our mission is connected with Jesus' mission. Our mission has to look like Jesus' mission. Our mission has to look like what it looks like for Jesus. So being on mission means that we're aligning with what God has initiated. God has started this. We didn't sit around in a staff meeting, sit around a round table over here in the office and said, you know, what's our mission, guys? What's something really cool that we could do? What does this look like? That's not how we got there. Actually, that was already given to us. That's already been given to the church. And so what we do is when we look at our life and we look and say, hey, we're people who are followers of Jesus, immediately that means that our mission is connected with Jesus' mission. If we want to be followers of Christ. And so we don't gather just to gather. We gather to go. Guys, we don't just get together on Sunday to high fives. Woo, that was a good song, Miss Raina. That was a good song, Pastor Trent. Oh, that was great. You know, oh, y'all played great and wonderful today, man. That message, it was kind of funny. And, oh, man, you know, we prayed some prayers. And I sat underneath the vent, and it made me get, you know, kind of like something going up my spine. That's not why we're here. We are here because we are connected with the mission of Jesus. And Jesus says, I don't want you just to get together and slap each other on the back. I want you to go carry out what I was sent to do. Now I am sending you to do what I sent into his world. We're carrying on the mission of Jesus. Have you ever wondered why the book of Acts is called the book of Acts? Because it means that we're supposed to continue to act like who? Jesus. That's what the early church did. They took the mission of Jesus and they continued in the acts of Jesus. And that's the same thing for us, is that we're continuing in the acts of Jesus. It would be like, Taylor keeps talking about football season, right? Football season is coming. It would be like, if you watch football, you'll understand. There's a thing called the huddle, right? It would be like if we got in our huddle and we said, all right, man, here's it. This is it. We're going to call this play. And you call the most amazing play ever. Never break through. That would be weird, right? I think the NFL would lose a lot of viewership if that kept happening, you know, over and over. They're calling plays, but they're never running. That's what happens when we come together as a group of people and we, man, this is great, this is wonderful. We talk about what Jesus did, and then we never do it. That's the same thing. You're not at the game if that's what you're doing. You're not in the game. You're not doing what you're called. You're not on mission. And so for us to be on mission, we have to do what Jesus has done. We have to do what Jesus has sent us to do with the authority that Jesus has sent us to do it with. You might remember Tom Hanks in 2004. I think he did a movie called The Terminal. Anybody remember the movie The Terminal, right? Where he's kind of stuck. He can't go back to his home. He can't enter the country that he's in, right? And you know what a terminal is? Terminal is basically, it's a place of transition. It's basically a place just to kind of get you from one place to the other. It's to send you on to your destination. But if you would just go in there and camp out like Tom Hanks did in the terminal, you say, well, that's just weird. That's not what's supposed to happen. But sometimes that's what we do here in church. We just camp out in the place that we're not going and being sent and doing and hitting the destination that God wants us to hit. And so this is part of that, that we're seeing what Jesus is saying here. We also see this. Not only are we a sent people, we value the mission over the model. I want you to understand this. We value the mission that Jesus has given us over the models that we can do it in. I want you to notice, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. You probably have read this before. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. And it said, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's how we baptize, right? We do that because this is what he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is he saying here? Do you notice what he didn't say? He gave us a mission, right? Do you notice what he didn't say? You have to notice what Jesus didn't do. Jesus did not give us a model. Jesus did not give us a system. Jesus did not give us a program. Jesus did not give us a building plan, right? All those are the things that he failed to do. And I'm not going to say he failed to do. It wasn't on his list to do. Because what he said, what you need to get is the mission. Because the mission is what's critical. Don't forget the mission, right? He gives a mission. He gives them a mission when he says this. And so the model and the methods, small groups, life groups, the events that we do, 4th of July, right, building campaigns, all these kind of things, all those things, that's methods and models. Those are methods and models, and they can change. You need to understand that. You need to understand this, that we have a great big vision to do something awesome out here in this back. We want to build a little bit larger building, right, so that we can do what God's called us to do. But it may come that we see in this this journey of following the mission, if that vision ever threatens the mission, then we've lost it. If that vision that we have ever threatens the mission that we have, then you know what? We have to stop. We have to say, well, hold up, stop. Let's see what we're doing here. Let's reevaluate what's going on, because we're not people who are sent with vision. We're people who are sent on a mission. Now, we'll get a vision for what that has to look like, But we always compare that to the mission. The model always gets compared to the mission. So the model and the methods can change. The mission never does. Now, we live in a place where we can go on the Savannah River, and we can go down River Street, and we can watch these cargo ships come in. Right? How many of you ever just sat there and watched? You know, I like all watching. I'll go out to Tybee and see these big ships come in. And you know what they're bringing? You know what they have on these ships? They have all these containers, right? Do you know how much a container costs? A container costs anywhere from about $1,500 to $3,000 used. It seems like a lot, doesn't it? You say, well, in the scheme of things, maybe. But it's not a lot. That container on those ships are loaded with containers, right? And you would think, man, maybe their mission is containers. You know that their mission is not containers? You know what the mission is? The mission is the cargo and the containers, right? Because if you start looking at those containers, where a container itself is only worth, used anywhere from about $1,500 to about $3,000, when that container is full of cargo, the average value of a container is over $54,000, right? And so what makes it is what's inside, right? That's the mission. And so if these cargo companies, right, if Maersk ever says, hey, we want to become a container company, they're going to lose their business. Because they make their money and their model is, it works because they're a cargo company. They're not a container company. Although that's just the tool that they use to get their mission done, right? And so there's going to be a lot of tools that we look at to use to accomplish the mission that Jesus has sent us on. So we are people who are sent. We are people who we're going to always value the mission over the model. When the model becomes the mission, we've made an idol out of what was only supposed to be a tool. When the model becomes the mission, then what that's become has become an idol. And it was only supposed to be a tool to help us accomplish the mission. Right? Last thing is this, Luke 19 and 10. Let's go to that. And you might know this one as well. Just one little sentence here. For the Son of Man, Pastor Tripp talked about this last week, right? Who do you say that I am? Great message, by the way. I'll give that dude a hand. He did a great job. He preached his message, and we were watching it because we were coming back. And we were watching his message, and he's talking about, who do you say that I am? And for the Son of Man, and that's Jesus talking about who he is, right? For the Son of Man came to what? Came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. He came to seek and save the lost. So what does that tell us? Lost people matter the most. Lost people matter. Lost people matter. And you say, well, Pastor Runner, you're saying I don't matter? No, you matter. You absolutely matter. But you know what? Most of us in here, praise God that you've been found. I praise God that I've been found. I praise God that somebody, you know, came out of their way. Somebody thought I was important enough to share Jesus with me. How many of you are sitting in here because somebody shared Jesus with you? Because somebody took the time and they said, hey, you matter. God loves you. And they took the time to share who Jesus is to them and what Jesus had done for them. And now you're here. And you're saying, wow, I love this. I love what Jesus has done for me. Well, we also have to love what Jesus has done for those who are not here yet. We also have to love that this is not it, guys. We're not done yet. The mission is not completed. That if there's lost people, then we're still on mission. And so lost people matter most. I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine like a search and rescue team, right? A search and rescue team. They're hiking up this snowy mountain, and they're trained, and they're equipped, and you know what? They're alert, and now someone is missing, and they're looking for them on this mountain, but they get to this mountaintop, and they take time to kind of set up camp, and then they just sit there, and they start drinking hot chocolate. They kind of start high-fiving about how that mountain climb was. That was great, man. Did you see how I climbed that mountain? That was awesome. Look at these snowshoes I got on.
But if that was to happen, right, they get to the top and they build a fire and they tell stories and they take selfies and they never go searching. It doesn't matter how comfortable they are. It doesn't matter how warm they are. It doesn't matter that they're together. They are what? All function. They are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You see, sometimes that's the picture of when the church, when we prioritize inwardly ourselves over those that we've been sent on a mission to reach. That's what happens when we start looking inwardly so much and we say, well, we begin making decisions about people who are already here. Well, we like it this way, we like it this way. Happens. I've seen this happen. I've been in church a long time. My dad's a pastor. I've been in church a long time. I've seen it in a lot of different ways. What I have seen is when that happens right there, when we start focusing more about who's inside instead of who's not there yet, it begins to dwindle. And you begin to die out. And then you become like a group of four people with a building and it used to be a budget. Maybe you have a debt and you can't hardly do anything because you're just a group of us four and you're I don't want that to be us at all. Never want that to be us. And so that's why it's important for us to keep talking about this. It's important for us to remind ourselves periodically, why are we here? Why are we here? Not just New Life Church, why are we here? Why is the church universal here at all? We're here because Jesus sent us. And Jesus sent us with a mission to seek and save that which is lost. And so the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, not entertain. We're not here to entertain. We're not here to just put on a good show on Sunday. That's not what, if that's what this is, we need to shut it. We're here because Jesus sent us. We're here because there's a mission. It's a critical mission. And there are people who are not here yet. And you know what? I want to see those people come. Because somebody came and got me. Somebody came and got me. Somebody was on mission when they came and got me. Got to be about that same mission. And so somebody's not here yet, but that's all right. We're going to be about the mission. And what does that look like? We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about how what we do around here, how that looks, and it's critical to making sure we're staying on mission. And so we'll talk about practical things that we've done, practical things that we're doing, and practical things that we need to do. Okay? But this morning, we just got to be reminded, it's our mission. Why do we exist? Why don't you stand with me? Can you put that back up there, Steve? There it is, right there. Thank you. You're right on. We're on mission. I want us to say this together. 1, 2, 3. We exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and engage them in the life and mission of the church. That's why we're here. That's our mission. That's why we're here, guys. And so this morning, we've got a choice before us. Be like MySpace and be distracted by secondary things. We can stay in the huddle and never run the play. We can live in the terminal and never reach our destination. Or we can choose to be what Jesus called us to be, sent people. He called us to be sent people. Every Sunday we gather. You know what? Every Sunday we're commissioned. Every Sunday we're commissioned. He didn't just commission us here. We're recommissioning, right? We're re-upping. Hey, I'm ready for the mission one more time this week. I'm ready to go do, Jesus, what you've called us to do. And so what does that look like, right? It's not just to be blessed, but it's to be sent. It's not just to come in and pat each other on the back. It's to be on mission from Monday to Saturday and say, hey, I'm prepared for this mission. This mission is to be what Jesus was. He was sent. He sent us. We're sent with authority and we're sent with a mission of reaching those who are not here yet. So what's the challenge this week? The challenge this week is don't just be a member of this church, right? Don't just be a member of this church. I want you to be a missionary from this church. I'm not looking for members. For missionaries. Who here this morning would just say, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary. happen if I want to, you know, because some of you are like, he's going to send me to Botswana, you know. You don't want to go to Botswana. There might be somebody in here that wants to go to Botswana. That's great. All right? We will send you. He goes to all kinds of places. Remember, we love sending places. But the missionary that God may be calling you to be is to be a missionary on your street, in your neighborhood, with your neighbors, the people sometimes who irritate you because they won't cut their grass. Or maybe they cut into your yard because you won't cut your grass. Okay? I don't know. But be a missionary. What does that look like? And maybe that's the prayer that we pray this week, and say, Lord, help me to carry the most valuable cargo. That's God's love and God's plan. God's love and God's plan. So this morning I want you to bow your head. And before we do this, I just bow your head this morning. But maybe you're here this morning and say, hey, I've not been on mission with Jesus because I haven't been in relationship with Jesus. I'm not on mission with Jesus because I've had the relationship with Jesus. But this morning, the invitation is to you, is to come and be on the team. It's to come be part of the family. It's to come and experience His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy. That's why we're all here, because somebody shared that with us. And if that's you here this morning, I just want to thank you. So if you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus, but you said, today I want to do that, would you just take just a second and slip your hand up and just raise your hand and pray? Anybody at all in here this morning, just say, I thank you. Up to say, man, I want to be on mission, but I first have to be on His team. I first have to be in relationship. So Lord, we stop right now. We thank you today for meeting us here. We thank you, Lord, that you have good for us now. So Lord, we ask now for those who have seen and they've recognized, before they can be on mission, they have to be on the team. They have to become part of the family, and that invitation is to every one of us. And so, Lord, I pray for them now. And I pray, Lord, forgiveness for their heart and forgiveness for their life now. Because that's what you come to bring. You came to bring grace and mercy. You came to seek and save that which was lost. And that is every one of us at some point. So, Lord, we don't have to remain lost. Today, we can become found. And this morning, there are many of us that we've been found, and this morning, there are a few more of us that are being found right now. So we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your love and your mercy goes beyond our sin. We submit our sin to you. We surrender our life to you. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us and wash us. Lord, now I pray that as we are not just people who are found, we're people who are sent. Help us to be about that mission. Help us to be about those conversations. This week, Lord, that when we're having those conversations, that we don't have to make it complicated. All we have to do is talk about who you are in our life, what you've done for us, how you found us. Lord, we know your story because your story intersects with our story. We are found people because you came from us. So, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the mission. We thank you for the vision and the models that we have. Lord, I pray that we always make sure that vision and mission, programs and models are always tethered to what you have set out for us, that mission of your heart, the mission of the heart of the Father, to seek and save that which is lost. We give that to you now, in Jesus' name. Can we sing it together? We'll sing a song.
And as we're singing this today, we know that we all have the invitation to worship the Lord. But I want you to be thinking on mission, what Pastor Ryan was talking about today. Just who can we invite to worship and to bless the Lord with us?